Welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. Next up, we'll be back to the garden, conversations with Jean Eisenhower and her guests on all things green and growing in and around your house. This is GMCR, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth, thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
Hello and welcome to Back to the Garden. I'm your host, Jean Eisenhower, and this is a show for gardeners, beginning gardeners, and all those who think it would be a good idea to have a garden. Today we're going to be talking with Jim Cranford, a gardener, compost advocate, philosopher, and the builder of a Vortex Flow Compost Tea Brewer. He's the author of an upcoming book entitled Systems, Symbiosis, and the Forest Goddess. And he promises a fascinating interview with us, including some of the things science has discovered about the spirit world but won't admit. I'm really looking forward to that. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you, Jean. It's good to be here.
Now, I've known you for a few years and I've always appreciated your open-mindedness toward all things cultural and scientific, and so I'm delighted that we're now talking about gardens, which easily spans those arenas of culture and science.
You bet.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we will talk about compost and compost tea in a moment, but let's first jump into vortexes, or to be grammatically correct, vortices, and then we'll get to what in the world they have to do with making better compost tea. So I've got this gut feeling about vortices, though not a lot of scientific understanding. I think of spirals, whirlpools, hurricanes, galaxies, which have some cohesion. They seem to focus energy in a powerful way, but I don't know why. Can you explain that?
Well, I don't know why either, but I know that, like you say, a vortex is a very natural shape that shows up in dynamic things like hurricanes and tornadoes. And it also shows up in the flow of nutrients in plant life and those things.
And I bet in our bodies, too.
You bet.
Blood in our bodies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So and I like to talk about the kind of a rolling donut shape that gets going around a vortex. Mm-hmm. And this is called a toroidal flow. And this case, it acts kind of as a sorting mechanism for the nutrients in the flow. They all take different paths according to their weight and how they match up with the water, the centrifugal force of the vortexes and so forth. Kind of divides things up and you end up with different kinds of plant life, as it were, on the bottom of the thing as you do up in the top and throughout the mixture. So it's also the shape of magnetic fields, which, you know, guides all of these things like galaxies and tornadoes and all these things. Magnetic fields are part of the structure of mm-hmm. a vortex. So this is just an experiment to see how microorganisms would like to have this kind of a flow pattern, is the way I started out. The University of Oregon did some experiments and made some pretty large ones, and they thought they were pretty good, but they refused to say they actually helped, because actually their agriculture department is financed by pesticide companies
and
agriculture
mm-hmm.
businesses, that kind of thing. But they managed to sell thousands of dollars worth of these compost tea brewers to farmers who were using them in the fields with great success.
And they were toroidal in shape?
Not necessarily. No? They mm-hmm. had several different models, and I just took off on my own on this because I wanted it to be more like a pond with a whirlpool in the middle than a toilet.
No, toilets also have little vortexes
you bet.
All right. So I heard you say that the vortex is sort of a sorting mechanism.
Yeah.
Is there more benefit than that to it?
Well,
We could get probably esoteric around that.
There's a whole philosophical end of it, which is this universal shape end of it. As far as just in practical terms, this brewer makes a place where there is no dead spots in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have places for anaerobic bacteria to get established. You've got your aerobics that are going in the, because you've got a lot of oxygen in the thing. Is part of the thing that makes it go is the oxygen bubbles.
Uh-huh.
So by not having any dead spots in there, you get a much cleaner flow. Like if you're just doing it in a 5-gallon bucket is the way I started out doing compost tea. It's real chaotic in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with kind of a muddy mixture that's, it's good. It's all good. Mm-hmm. Plants like, no matter what kind of tea you make, most plants will like it. But when it's aerated, it's better. It drives off chlorine if you've got that in your water.
And I saw one of those aerating ones this summer, and it was, I think it was a couple 5-gallon buckets, and they had like a fish tank bubbler, and I think the main benefit of that was simply just adding oxygen to it.
Well, the oxygen is what the bacteria really need to flourish. So you get the highly oxygenated water, and you get the bacteria in there, and they're all kind of get into this universal flow shape, and so you have a place where they go through different tests, you might say, where they go down into this vortex. Well, it appears when I'm doing this that the bacteria in that vortex are the ones that are putting out the most gas because they produce a real foam dome up over that vortex from the gases that they're producing. So, and it just doesn't seem to be doing the same thing in the other parts of the flow. So I don't know. I think the vortex is beneficial. It seems to me after 9 months of running this thing, but I couldn't say in a real definite way just how much it helps the thing. I think the bacteria love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Let's just talk about bacteria for a moment. And compost both. Let's just get real basic, just for those who might need a little bit of help with the theory of compost and compost tea and bacteria. A lot of people think bacteria bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's clarify that.
Well, if you just look at the forest floor, it turns out the forest floor is a vital part of the whole forest, and every plant with a root in there is supplied with its nutrients by one of these fungus or bacterial plants.
Mm-hmm.
There are no rooted plants that grow without these bacteria. In fact, that's usually very often the cause, especially here in the Southwest, of plants dying off because there aren't any of these bacteria in the soil, enough of them to really get their roots going. And when you look closely, the microscope at this, you have fungus in the soil, and then you have the cells of the root cells of the plant. And you look real close, you find out there isn't a dividing line between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You have cells that are all fungus, and then they start being more and more root, and then they get to be about 50-50, and then the cells, as they get closer and closer to the root, become less fungus and more root. So there isn't a clear division between the plant life and what's going on in the soil. So what we're just trying to do with the compost pile is duplicate the situation in the forest where all of the plant life, all of the stuff that falls in there is recycled into the food we're going to eat.
And there's lots of that good bacteria.
Yeah.
And even we humans must have bacteria.
Oh, yeah. We have more bacteria and fungi living in our bodies than we have cells. There are trillions of our cells, and when there are tens of trillions, hundreds of trillions of bacteria that are living in our body, calling us home. So we'd better make friends with them.
Right, right. Okay. So I've heard master gardeners say things like, almost any soil problem can be cured with compost. And so what they were saying is, make friends with your bacteria. And I know that we're destroying a lot of bacteria inadvertently when we water with chlorinated water.
Exactly.
Chlorine kills bacteria. And sometimes even things like pine chip mulch, pine bark mulch, I think the pine is actually an antibacterial as well. So if it sits on top, you're going to be okay. It might not be the best thing, but if you start digging it into your soil thinking you're just adding compost to your soil, you're adding something very antimicrobial to your soil.
Same thing with juniper berries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
They can really upset your garden.
And even tilling the soil, turning it over and exposing it to light and air in some cases can be killing off important microorganisms.
One thing I found, Owen, from your class the other day, you were talking about soil testing. Well, I spent years testing soil around here and the stuff I was mixing up for containers. And, I just had a horrible time trying to get a real reliable soil mix, and especially with the pH. And I was mixing it with quite a bit of compost. So then one day I decided to test my compost and see how it matched up on all these nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
It had them all right on the money. I just quit worrying about it, and I, from then on, I've just grown in 100% compost.
Oh, really?
I add things to it in the compost pile, usually, rather than waiting. And then I feed it with this compost tea and other things. But I just quit buying stuff and trying to mix it with the clay around here and trying to get something that would work.
Just growing straight compost.
And so the compost is our apple tree, it's hedges, it's all of our garden waste and the stuff from our kitchen, and then a few things that I add to it during the year.
Okay, so to bring everybody up to speed here, we understand that we can kill the bacteria in our garden, and we want to keep it as viable and full of life as we can. We can get a lot of that bacteria from our compost, and people have started making tea out of their compost by putting compost in water and allowing it to grow, encouraging it more with oxygen, and now you have taken this to another level with the Vortex. The Vortex Flow Compost Tea Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you want to describe that?
Okay, it's a 25-gallon utility tub, and I cut a hole in the bottom and put a 2-inch shower drain in there and sealed it with aquarium sealer. And then from that drain, then it splits into a manifold that goes out to four places, to tubes that run up the side and in the through holes in the top of the tub. And so what we do is we introduce water with an aquarium pump in the bottom of the tubes, and the bubbles displace water and force water out the top of the tubes into the tub.
Bubbly water.
Yeah. And so then you turn, got little elbows that stick out on the inflow to the tub, and you turn those in the direction you want the vortex to go, and in about a minute, it starts to form a vortex just like in your bathtub or wherever. And
there's one direction that works in the northern hemisphere better than the others. Is
Yeah, but it'd be pretty hard to measure. It seems to work just as well either way.
Either way, okay.
Like we got a backwards toilet. It works okay.
You do, okay. Must have been from the southern hemisphere,
It could be. Yeah, so once that flow gets going, then you... I tried different things. Tea bags in there and just throwing the... what you do first, you got to sift the compost. And the compost is the key to the whole thing. If you're going to make compost tea, you got to have good compost. And so it should have a lot of worm castings in it after it's through with the hot part of the compost. You want to let it mellow with the worms for quite a while, and they'll just go crazy in there. And so then, where was I? You put the... sift that compost down to just the real fine stuff that comes out of it and put the rest back in the pile for later. And I put about 3 cups of that in for 15 gallons of water.
And what sort of thing? Was it like a paint strainer or a nylon bag?
Well, I bought those nylon paint bags from the hardware store, and I tried those. But what works the best is to go back to the old method that I was using before of a 5-gallon bucket, and put the compost in there and run it overnight with my smaller aquarium pump, the first one I bought. And it works great in a 5-gallon bucket. The ones you buy at other stores for that are cheap for aquariums, they're not sturdy enough for this kind of work because you end up banging them around a lot and you end up breaking the little plastic nipples off the end and you end up buying a new pump. You
know? So get a good one.
Get a good one. And anyway, after overnight, all the chlorine has been bubbled out of there for sure. And the microorganisms have broken loose from what they were hanging on to because they were all hanging on to their food when you put
like
them in there.
A little bit of root or whatever.
Yeah, so you got sinkers and floaters, you know, and everything else in the middle is what you want.
Okay.
So then you just skim the floaters off the top and then pour the 5 gallons of the 4 gallons is all you're going to end up with into the brewer. And not pour the stuff that settled to the bottom when you see it start getting dark
Coils,
coming out of the that's enough, you know. Then I took that stuff and I put it on a place that was the worst soil we had in the yard, and we had been growing sunflowers there for 3 or 4 years, and the tallest one we ever had was about 4 feet because the soil was so bad. So I started dumping that leftover what was left over from the compost tea on that thing. And that sunflower ended up almost 20 feet tall. It has a trunk on it like a sapling. It's just huge. And all of our garden responded to this stuff really well, except near the end of the year when I kind of overdid it and started hitting them twice a week instead of once a week.
They had a little much, huh?
Yeah, overdid it. I always overdo it.
Well, let's take a little break here, and we're going to come back and finish sharing just a little bit more about how this functions, this Back to the Garden. After a short break, we'll come back with a gardening calendar and talk more with Jim Cranford. All right, this is Back to the Garden. I'm Jean Eisenhower, your host, and we're talking with Jim Cranford about his Vortex Flow compost tea brewer and other amazing things. And I have a quick short calendar here for gardeners. Looking quite a ways ahead because there's not that much going on this month of February, listeners will probably want to put on your calendars the Home and Garden Expo, which will be held this year on March 24th and 25th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. So if you have a business you might want to get involved, if you have a home or garden, you might want to attend for a wealth of great ideas and products from your local business folks and friends. And I just discovered a wealth of wonderful information on the silverheightsnursery.blogspot.com website. That's a local nursery. I'm going to be having this the owner of it as a guest on the show real soon. But in the meantime, there's exactly what I've been looking for, exactly what to do this month in your garden. She's got that on the blog spot right now. So if you're wondering what to plant and what sort of maintenance to do, give that a try. Silverheightsnursery.blogspot.com for local Silver City suggested planting times and other great information. If you know of any other free events of interest to gardeners, please leave me a message at the station, 597-4891, or email me at BTTG, that stands for Back to the Garden, at gmcr.org. GMCR stands for Gila Members Community Radio. And finally, if you've just discovered KURU and are wondering what you might have missed in the last half year since we began broadcasting online, you can go to our Back to the Garden archives at gmcr.org by clicking Programs at the top of the page, then Back to the Garden in the drop-down menu, and read about all the previous shows and click on any one you'd like to hear. We have shows on everything from seed saving to water harvesting, herb gardening, and much, much more. And remember that you can also hear this show repeated Saturday mornings at 10:30. So, Jim, what more do we need to know about the compost tea brewer Vortex Flow type?
Well, let's see. We just poured the stuff in. So it can take anywhere from a few hours to a couple of days to get a real good dome going. And this is what I have been using as a gauge for when it's really ready, is how readily it forms a dome in the top of it.
That means lots of bacteria has been growing so much to make all these bubbles on top.
Yeah. And you can see in no time the dome gets so big that it stops turning with the vortex, and the vortex underneath it is turning. And so, you get a And that's when it get, the brew looks like tea rather than muddy water.
Mm-hmm.
It's muddy water is what you pour in, and by this time it's all sorted itself out. So you've got the high oxygen, you've got all the water-soluble elements out of your compost, you've got the bacteria that are all flourishing. Because, oh, well, that's the other thing. You've got to add a little food in there, too. Mm-hmm. I put a couple tablespoons of molasses mm-hmm. in, dissolved in water, and then I put in some kelp, liquid kelp,
mm-hmm.
and they like that. You can put fish emulsion in there, and some people do it, but I don't like the result. It gets a little strong smelling.
Okay.
Where if you keep that mm-hmm. out, it smells really earthy. Smells like your compost, mm-hmm. and especially your vegetables really like it. And if it starts to get a little sour or even start to stink, well, then you want to put it on your roses and your fruit trees, things like that that like a more acid mm-hmm. Mix.
Okay.
And it's all good. They love it all. You know?
Uh-huh. So how much of this would you use on, for instance, say a 10 by 10 size garden?
Well, there are several ways to use this, too. In the first place, just pouring it on the soil as a fertilizer, it's great. Where it's really getting famous for, and as far as the commercial use is concerned, is they foliar feed it.
That's right.
Not only does this just bypass the root system and put this wonderful nutrition directly into the plant.
And let's describe foliar feed means to spray it on the leaves,
right.
Foliage.
Right. And this tea sprays really well because it's all well dissolved. It doesn't plug things up like fish
like
emulsion.
Like the one I used last year. Yeah. Ruined my sprayer.
Yeah.
And why do plants need it on their leaves?
Well,
I was told once. I don't remember now.
The theory behind this is that in the soil or in the forest floor, this whole microbial mat, which goes sometimes several feet down into the soil, is essentially the immune system for the forest, the fundamental immune system. Because it's providing all the nutrition for all the growing plants, when some pathogen comes up, that's where the antigen for that pathogen comes from, is from this microbial mat, from the bacteria. And you could look at it as the information that this bacteria and fungal mat has learned for billions of years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this. They know how to do it really well. So when they're sprayed on the leaves, they act the same way. They immediately attack the pathogens that might be on those leaves and make antigens right on the spot.
Fantastic.
That's the theory. Now, mm-hmm. that's the one they don't want to admit over at the university.
Uh-huh.
But that's the people that are really studying it. That's what they say is going on.
And gardeners doing, you know, the best gardeners I know do foliar feeding, so it must have some benefit. I'll believe
it. I know it works. And then another mm-hmm. angle on it is if you do it around dawn and happen to play a little music, just about anything that's in the same sound spectrum as bird calls,
mm-hmm.
The little openings on the leaves open up to five times as big as they do in a normal dawn morning.
Are you kidding?
Because in the old days, every plant was just loaded with birds all night.
Mm-hmm.
And when the dawn would come, they'd all start making noise and dumping their load before mm-hmm. they took off to fly away.
Uh-huh.
And so the plants open those things because here comes the good stuff, folks.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just kind of duplicating that now. So there again, university studies have shown this, but they managed to get around it and run the studies over again so they couldn't get the plants to benefit from the music.
Okay, so this is we're edging over into this new next subject.
Oh.
The things that science doesn't want to admit.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay. I want to go there. I see that our time is getting short. We might have to have you back again. Is there more that you want to add to your Vortex Flow brewer?
Well, yeah, the last part of it. Mm-hmm. How much time here?
Well, yeah, like 3 minutes is all.
Yeah, okay. Well, the way I finally settled is the best way to run this is take 3 gallons out every day and put 4 gallons of this, you know, like I was saying, mm-hmm. back in every day. So that gives you a steady stream, 20 gallons a week that you have available. Or you can run it once a week and clean it out. But or once a month and clean it out, really, depending on the size of your garden, kind of thing.
But you were saying 3 gallons a day.
Yeah, and I ran it for over 2 months that way. And the sludge got pretty heavy in it, but it never started to smell bad. It always smelled really earthy and nice.
And when this stuff costs $30 a gallon if you buy it on the market, that's a nice value. You're getting $90 worth of compost tea, the finest quality, every single day.
Yeah.
That's a huge value. Somebody could start a little business doing that.
Somebody might.
That's great. All right. Well, we really only have about a minute and a half.
Well, I want to thank you guys for, and Kyle, you for having this thing, for all the work you do. And Jean, thank you. And I wanted to say that the name of your show, Back to the Garden, has been kind of the theme of my life, because I went from building race cars to being living out in the woods all by myself. So the Back to the Garden has always been kind of my theme, so it's good to be here.
Well, thank you. And I'd like to also let the audience know that you have a wonderful website with all kinds of really attractive looking information that I just haven't found enough time to spend with it, but I'm going to. And your website is called Life OS. That stands for operating system, which I just love that. Life OS. Where does it go from there? WordPress?
Yes. lifeos.wordpress.com.
Okay, that's a great website with videos and articles and other sites that you like to advocate. So we'll have to have you back again to talk more about the forest goddess and things that science has discovered and doesn't want to admit. It's all good stuff. Thank you very much, Jim Cranford.
Well, thank you.
Okay, folks, our time is up. We hope you've gained at least a few bits of information and mostly inspiration that'll be useful in your gardens and in your life. So, thank you very much, Kyle, for all your production help. Thanks to Greg Renfro for the intro and outro music excerpted from his original Seasons of Plenty. And thank you, listeners and gardens everywhere, for keeping these essential skills alive for all of us. And thank you for sharing them with others. Please tune in next week when we'll have another local gardener as our guest, talking about, who knows at this time, I don't know, but got some good ideas happening. It could be about native plants, transplanting, anything related to gardening. If you know someone who you think would be a good guest on the show, please give me a call at 597-4891 or email me at bttg@gmcr.org. Until next week, I'm wishing you peaceful, healing moments in your garden. I'm Jean Eisenhower.
Plant your seeds. See what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens. Touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Back to the Garden with Jean Eisenhower. Join us again next Thursday at 4:30 for more conversation on all things green and growing. This is what community radio looks like. This is GMCR.